Right across Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Oh, sorry. I was just doing a couple of sets and reps. I can do that because that's what my current job and lifestyle allows me to do. But if I were to move into the truck driver lifestyle, would I still be able to get swole, bro? And get shredded for stereo? Well, we spoke to some buff truckies. Yeah, I think there are ways around it. I think I could still tear my sinew and feed it up with enough protein to promote growth. It suits me well. Also, I mean, you've just got to ponder whether we're ready as a society to start acting more like cats. I hope so. I did my part. Are you doing your part? Are you doing enough in 2021 to try and promote the cat lifestyle in humans? Also bad news if you like going down on your partner. Yes, I said going down. It's a real thing. And it is a real thing that you are four times more likely to have mouth cancer because of it. It's tough. It was not easy to talk about, but these are the facts presented before me. Now though, this guy seems like a fun guy. Man injects himself with magic mushrooms, then gets fungal infection in his blood, which puts him into organ failure. Oh no. You hate to see it, you hate to hear it, you hate to see someone try and break into the fourth wall, keeping an open mind, trying to go next level with their drug taking. It's ended up shooting himself in the foot. A man experienced a fungal infection after turning psychedelic mushrooms into a tea that he then injected into his veins. And I'd never do drugs. I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot pole. But I've heard on the street, if you eat them, about 50%. You snort them, about 60%. Put in your bum. God, that's the hitting spot. That's the sweet spot, 70 to 80%. One could only imagine this guy was thinking, oh, yeah, what if I intravenously put it into my veins straight away? God, that's going to hit hard. I mean, maybe he was a mushroom connoisseur. It's not a good idea. I definitely don't recommend that. When the doctors met the man, a blood sample revealed something even more shocking. The mushrooms, which thrive in dark places, by the way, had begun to grow in the man's bloodstream. Doctors kept the man in hospital for 22 days and gave him antibiotics and antifungal treatment. Oh, that's shameful. I hate it when doctors prescribe antifungal treatment. You'll go to the doctors. You'll be, oh God, I've got a cold, doc. So if I could just get some antibiotics for that. Yeah, check my ears and stuff. He's like, is there anything else? Oh, yeah, just this rash on my inner elbow. It's nothing. It's probably nothing. Just a bit of eczema or something. He's like, oh, no. No, that's a fungal infection. You'll need some antifungal cream for that. Oh, no. You feel really dirty going up to the pharmacist. But do you have any Canesten? It's not for me. It's for my brother. Meanwhile, scratching away at your inner elbow. She knows. And she's judging you for your fungal infection. It's a harmless one. It's a common one. It's obviously fine to have a fungal infection. They're quite easy to get rid of. You've got to go hard. You got to go hard for 5 days. It's like you've got to lock down that area. You really got to go hard on the Canesten for like 5 days straight. If you go 2 days on Canesten, it'll deceive you. It'll play a trick on you because it'll look better. You'll be like, not itchy anymore. No fungalness around that area. Not so inflamed. Okay, I'm free of my fungus. And then like all great funguses do, they'll come back. Like they'll breed very quickly. And all of a sudden you got to go back to the doctor again. It's like, oh, doc, I think this eczema's playing up again. Oh, another tube of Canesten. Like, yeah, I think so. Embarrassing. But nothing reminds you that the earth is alive and there's organisms all around us more than a fungal infection. Like many things you can't even see just growing, multiplying, having its own little ecosystem. Living its best life between your toes or on your inner elbow or wherever it is. I had a fungal infection once underneath my armpit. It was just one armpit. And I thought it was quite like a quirky thing for a while. I was just getting around going, hey guys, you know in the morning when I spray my pits, my left armpit's fine, but my right one gets a little itchy. Must have an ingrown hair or something. You'll be in denial. Probably about 2 week denial stage of a fungal infection. Yeah, I've got a couple of ingrowns. Or yeah, I don't know, weird itchy armpit. Yeah, it happens to the best of us. And then you finally give in and the doctor goes, yeah, no, you've got a disgusting fungal infection under your armpit, mister. Oh, God, bring on the Canesten then. Oh, this guy must feel like a fool. I mean, 22 days, he's in good hands. He's got the antibiotics and the antifungal treatment. Embarrassment for sure. Antifungal. Fungal infection in your blood. It's got to be one of the worst ones. And fungus doesn't just grow on bodies either. That's the magnificent thing about a fungus. Like, we used to go to university, and me and two lads, we had this grotty share house. And me and my mate used to share a bathroom. We prided ourselves that in the corner of the bathroom, about 6 months in, because the water was sort of leaking outside of the shower sealies gap, we had literally two fully brown capped mushrooms sprouting out of the corner of the doorway. And neither of us wanted to like trim the mushrooms. We're like, let's see how high these mushrooms can go. Let's see how thick we can get these stalks. That's the great thing about fungus. And on 133353, this is the great thing about this phenotypic as well. Because if I say, where was the fungus growing? Not only can you think, did I have any fungus growing on my body? But you could also think, have I had any fungus growing around the house as well? I remember I went and volunteered in Uganda back in 2010. Yeah, I'm a bit of a humanitarian, and I was teaching orphaned kids over there, like grade 3 Ugandan school kids. And like they'd obviously like really appreciate my help, and I was having a good time with them, having fun, teaching them things, playing soccer with them and whatnot. And a couple of the lads had like white bits all over their scalp. And I just thought it was dry shampoo. So I'd go up to them, I'd like give their heads like a little scruff. Like, that was my move. Oi, what are you doing? Give their heads a little scruff. And then like one day I said to the teacher about a week, and I was like, that's interesting. Like the dry shampoo is better than the wet shampoo. She's like, no, that's fungus on their head. Oh, no. I've got fungus. I've got Ugandan schoolboy fungus all over my hands now. And that's the thing. I think I made the fungus worse because I'd rub an infected schoolboy's head and then I'd go over to like some uninfected schoolgirl and rub her head as well, just passing fungus around. Someone should have told me. Anyway, bit of fun fungus chat on 133353. David on the Central Coast, where was the fungus growing?
Between me toes.
Oh, yes, common. We hear it all too often, unfortunately. So between each toe, or is there... pair of toes that gets a bit sweatier and more fungus prone than others?
Well, you wear work boots for 12 hours a day and you come home and it's like you take your socks off and they find their own way to the dirty clothes basket and your missus goes, your feet stink. So, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's always the first warning sign. Like a man.
That's it, mate. That's it.
A man will be 3 weeks into his fungus infection, scratching away, not really thinking anything of it until the missus is like, yeah, no, I've seen like mushrooms growing out of your socks. So go and get a tube of gas.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing about fungus. Like, because it loves that dark, sweaty stuff. I mean, what are you going to do? Take a week off work? Not practical.
No, well, that's not going to pay the bills, is it?
No, but absolutely anyway. Not. So you're almost going to have to douse your whole foot in canister, like, then try and wrap the sock over the top of it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, well, it's good fungus gear from you, Dave. Jenny in Glenorchy, Tasmania. Hello.
Hello, Danny.
You're fungus prone, are you?
Yes, a bit.
God, where are you growing your fungus? Hang on, let me guess. I was about to play a classic game of guess which body part Jenny was infected with fungus.
To disappoint.
Oh, Jesus.
Not.
Oh, unbelievable. okay, in the garden. Yeah,
cheeky
right.
Boy.
Well, it makes more sense in the garden. Where in the garden, though?
Yeah, I was weeding along the fence line, and the weeds have just gone crazy this year.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, the weeds are spreading faster than the coronavirus.
Whoa, big call from you.
It's just unbelievable.
Don't mind it. Shock, jock.
Coronavirus. Yes.
Okay, so
really sick with it. Yeah. And I came across about half a dozen white mushrooms. I thought, well, I'm not game to try to see if they're edible.
No.
So I just dug the things out.
Oh.
But it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no.
You turn around, you do one lot of weeding, and you turn around, and there's another lot.
Yep.
Nearly as high as yourself growing. They've just gone amok.
Just when you think you've plugged one mushroom cluster, you'll turn around and a whole other mushroom cluster.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've even found mushrooms growing in the grass, in the lawn.
Well, I mean, this has given me a great idea for a segment. Jenny, how does your garden grow? Every Thursday evening on the Danny Lakey Show. We'll write that one on the whiteboard. Thanks, Jenny. Darcy, 133353. Good fungus chat so far. So we've had... Dave's toes, Jenny's garden, my armpit, Ugandan schoolboy scalps, and bathroom fungus growing in boring stoner roommates.
Yeah, I've got a pretty new one for you.
Great.
Going through your tattoo ink, mate.
Whoa, you got a fresh tat, got some ink, and then it started fungusing.
Yeah, well, it's 6 months old, went to the doc on, mate, I got lumps. He's got, you're a 21-year-old male, righto. But no, the fungus is going through my ink.
Unbelievable. So who's to blame for this? Tattoo artist, unsanitary conditions, or you not scrubbing properly, not doing the correct aftercare?
I work outdoors, mowing lawns all day, so I reckon I'll just pick something up like that.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, some of the spores. That's the other thing about bloody fungus. The spores will just latch on. Probably Jenny's garden all the way to your tattoo.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Experts warn too much oral sex poses cancer risk.
The mouth is for eating, not for sex.
Experts have delivered a frightening health warning claiming lots of oral sex can increase the risk of mouth cancer. Well, how much is lots? All right, how long's a piece of string? We need more specificity in the study. Oh, wait, here it is. People who've had 10 or more oral sex partners were found to be 4 times more likely to develop the disease, research showed. Oh, no. It's the variety guys that are going to suffer the most. I hate that. I hate it when a variety guy reads a story about variety guys suffering. The team from Johns Hopkins University asked 508 people to divulge details about their oral sex lives and general health. The highest risk was associated with those who'd performed oral sex on several different people in a short period of time. Oh no, the ones that whisk through it as well. I hate it when a whisker reads a story about a whisking story of whiskers suffering. According to Dr. Drake's team, the researchers also found that those who had older sexual partners in their youth were at a higher risk. Oh no, I hate it when I think back to my younger years and then remember all the older partners that I had. I hate it when I read a story about that. It also revealed males were more likely to increase risk than females. Oh God, with different parts, you see, isn't it? God, you hate to read all of this. You hate to read all of this, but knowledge is power. Dr. Drake said that this research is incredibly concerning. Yeah, you're right, Dr. Drake, but one which does not come as a surprise. Hang on. Why didn't they tell us about this before then, Dr. Drake? People who need to be aware of this, the people who are engaging with sexual activity, and they need to understand that they've got to take the right precautions. Well, what precautions are there for oral sex? The dental dam? Well, I'll be damned if I go out and purchase a dental dam. It was the worst sex piece of all time. No one's used a dental dam since 1997, but fear not.
The following is a paid presentation.
Love going down on your partner but want to protect yourself from hidden nasties like mouth cancer?
Yeah.
Well, the Tongue Condom is for you. The Tongue Condom is unlike anything on the market and is this year's must-have safe sex bedroom accessory.
Isn't that just a normal condom?
No, shut up! Manufactured with the latest latex technology, the Tongue Condom is available in different sizes, shapes and even flavours for those picky palates out there.
I tried the strawberry-flavoured one and I thought I was just licking a zooper-duper. And then I was like, hang on, I'm actually engaging in foreplay right now, the missus, that's right.
Available in packs of 60 for that average bloke who's managed to score himself a hot blonde model, 10 packs for those fresh-faced, eager 18-year-old guys, and even 1 packs for those men who've been married for over 30 years and can barely be arsed. But that's not all. Order now and receive a promotional extra lubed tongue condom absolutely free.
I smoke a lot of bongs each night, which can give me pasties and a real dry mouth, so this extra lubed tongue condom was a game changer. For about 5 minutes, then I got the munchies, and because it was chocolate flavoured as well, I just ended up eating it off my own tongue.
Strawberry, chocolate, tutti frutti, you name it, the tongue condom is available in that flavour. Green apple, mango, banana. Actually, not banana, because who the f*** likes the taste of a banana condom? It's a bloody mystery as to why those are still available. But every other flavour. Blueberry, coconut, even bubblegum.
I like the bubblegum flavoured tongue condoms because I'll actually chew it after a big session and the bubbles you can blow is actually really impressive. Ready? I'll show ya. Ouch.
So what are you waiting for? Protect yourself with the tongue condom today. Call 1-800-CONDOM now. I was looking at a feline today in the street and I thought, why can't humans just be a little bit more like cats? I mean, cats have it pretty good. You know, cats do cat things. You see a cat do a cat thing, you don't think anything of it, to be honest. I mean, if the cat wasn't doing those cat things, you'd probably think more of it. They go about their day doing all sorts of cat things. As a society, we can probably agree that cats doing cat things is quite fun. Like, and I'm probably here to push the agenda that you don't have to be a cat to do cat things. I mean, and I know we're open to it because you ask anyone on a weekend over the age of 45, you say, what did you do on Saturday between the hours of 2 and 3? And they say, well, I had a cat nap. And for me, that's probably the start of a longer list of things that we could potentially be doing that cats also do. Things that your cat can do that you want to do. I'm not saying we all go around like meowing, like licking our arseholes and stuff. There are certain things that cats can do, and if we all got on board, there'd be no reason why we couldn't just do it as a human society, such as have a post to rub up against. The massage industry is booming. We are always sore. I'm amazed that there aren't just more posts around for humans to just rub their back on, sort of like try and cure their ailments. That's one thing that I'd like to do that cats can do. What else is there? Oh, I'd like to lick myself. I'd like the freedom. I wouldn't do it all the time. I'm not saying I'd never get anything done and just lick myself 24/7, but I'd like the option to just lick myself in the street. Just a little salty skin snack. Just if I wanted to, without the judgment. And we as a collective society could decide right this instant that we're going to start licking ourselves more like cats. I'd like to get my head patted, if I'm being completely honest. I'd like to just beg to get my head patted for 45 minutes until someone finally succumbs to patting my head and then just walk away with my ass in the air. That sounds like a bit of fun. That's something that cats do that I'd quite like to do. I'd like to walk all over a keyboard, to be honest. Like a life-size keyboard, a big keyboard, big enough for my feet so that like my foot was just stepping on one key at a time. And I could type things. I could dance and do my research at the same time. Write assignments out whilst burning calories. That's what I'd like to do. Not turn into a cat, just act more like a cat. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to invent or have someone invent something similar to catnip. How good is cats having catnip? We could invent like some sort of human nip that we could just sniff all the time. Get us all hot and bothered. Is it that? We put man on the moon, for goodness sake. We don't just make some substance that humans can sniff that get us all excited and want to bang? That's not cocaine?
I can really see myself carving out a nice career in a truck on the road. Triple M's Danny Lakey Show goes all over Australia. Lots of you are listening in trucks. Lakey drove from the Gold Coast to Melbourne just before he started this year. Now he thinks he can be a truckie.
So I've got no problem with the driving. My suspicions were correct. 1,704 kilometres in one go is impressive.
Right, but what about toilet breaks?
Last night I also had suspicions that truck drivers don't necessarily pull over to go to the bathroom. They have what's known as a piss bottle.
Okay, but did you ask about, you know...
What do you have to say about the underground trucker sex scene?
Oh, mate, it's well and truly out there. Don't worry about that.
I like the answers. Becoming closer to become a truck driver day by day.
Is it going to happen? Is Lakey going to sensationally quit his high-paying radio announcer job and join the very people listening every night?
God, is the truckie lifestyle for me.
Well, look, I'm edging ever closer. We have discovered that, yes, I can drive like a truck driver, I can piss like a truck driver, and I can bang like a truck driver. It's all alive and well. It's all suiting my lifestyle down to a T. You just can't make these big career moves without making sure that it really does suit you. Because I'm glamorising the life on the road, there's no doubt. But speaking to the truckies each night around the country on Triple M, they're giving me the real advice. They're straight shooting. And to be honest, I'm liking the answers that are straight shot at me so far. This next little quadrant of my life that I need in my lifestyle has me worried. This may be where it all comes untangled. This may be where it's like, hey, mate, nah, sorry. Maybe this isn't the job for you. I'm someone who likes to eat very healthy, and I also like to work out at the gymnasium, or at least keep active and keep the muscles pumping. Partly because I'm very self-conscious and partly because I just want a woman to love me for my awesome physique rather than my amazing personality. It's a must for me to be able to move my body and work out on the roads. Now, my suspicion is the following, that there is a group of truck drivers out there who drive around and they work 5 or 6 days, very hard working, but they too prioritise healthy eating and an active lifestyle. And of course, for 12 hours a day, you are seat bound. But then once they pull over for the night, all hell breaks loose for an hour. I'm imagining maybe they've got a couple of dumbbells in the back that they start bringing out. I'm imagining maybe an extended chin-up bar out the back. I'm imagining all sorts of fitness apparatus, and I'm imagining that there may be a few buff truckies out there. Or at least I'm hoping there's some buff truckies out there. Is the scene, much like the rampant sex scene that we discussed last night, is there a fitness scene in the truck driver world? Do you see a group of truck drivers congregating at sundown or sunrise, whenever they're about to finish or start their shift, start busting out push-ups, doing a couple of sit-ups, lifting the iron, pounding weights around, throwing it? And then, of course, everyone knows that muscles aren't only built in the gym, they're built in the kitchen. Do we then see a whole conglomerate of truck drivers going to the BP station and bypassing the bacon and egg rolls and saying, hey, can I just have 4 fried eggs, thanks? And I'm actually just going to dip off to the Caltex next door and pick up a nice packet of beef jerky. I mean, is there healthy snacks? Because the worst fears in me think, oh, no. No, maybe like if you're a truck driver, you just have to resign to the fact that no, you're very stagnant. Like it's one of those jobs, mate. You're just sitting there and then, of course, you get lazy, you get complacent. It's tiring. So you like to sleep. You like to get comfortable. You know what it's like at the BP stations and the servos around the country. It's just pies. It's pies and sausage rolls and Cokes and Red Bulls and all that. I mean, that's fine for some, but I just don't want to get out into the truck driver's world and then realize that, hey, any lads keen to lift? No, we're just eating a pie over here. I want to fit in. 133353. Are there any buff truckies out there? Are there ripped roosters on the road pumping that bicep whilst pulling that trucker's horn? What's the truckie fitness scene like? Jason, what do you think?
Mate, I've got a recommendation for you. You want to keep fit? So I'm going to say, if you're going to wanted to do that, get yourself into house removals, mate. It's a young man's game. They're all built like brick, you know what. Yeah. And, mate, it's all about running, going up and down stairs with 300 kilo fridges and all sorts of stuff, jumping up and down off the truck, reaching high, reaching low. It'll keep you going. And I'll tell you what, after you've done that for a while, mate, you won't want to know about getting fit. Trust me.
Well, absolutely. And I can imagine that the first day of a removalist job would be the toughest to back it up the next day. They're talking about, mate, the delayed onset muscle soreness. The DOMS after a first day on the job of a removalist gig would be one of the great sore ones.
Absolutely, brother. So you can do that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as your eating habits go, mate, there's plenty of places you can pull up and get a good feed along the way. You know, if you're into healthy stuff, mate, you just got to keep your eyes open for it, that's all.
Well, I like it when you're on a long road trip and then all of a sudden out of nowhere there's just some like farmer on the side of the road selling his organic strawberries, mate, and like his eggs and stuff. Like, that appeals to me. I like that.
I was nearly going to say that to you, mate. There's no reason you can't come home with, you know, half a truck full of fresh produce. Stuff like that too,
Look, it's food for thought, and the removalist thing, although I would get very, very strong very quickly, even by osmosis with those big Tongans and Samoans moving fridges around, what drew me to the truck driver lifestyle in the first place were the long road trips, me and my own thoughts, and the open road. So it would have to be long haul removalist.
That's the best part of it, long haul removalist.
Yeah, cool. I don't mind that. Uh-huh. I do not mind that. Good advice. Starry in New South Wales. You're a buff truckie. Starry.
Yeah, mate, got you there.
Yeah, good. You're a buff truckie?
Yeah, mate, we're on the Garbo, see? Like, we're running around all morning, and then, if you got it, you hit the weights of an Arvo.
Yeah, I see. So you're almost double working out, fatiguing those muscles in the morning with the garbage.
It's tough, though, mate. Well, I bet. It's tough.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I was going to get to that part. I was going to butter myself up first. Oh, yeah, you know, you lift some bins in the morning, and then you lift some more iron in the afternoons. But I've said it once on this show before, and I've said it, and I'll say it again now. My hat gets tipped to the Garbos who are up at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
I'm not cut out for that.
That's our motivation, mate. What else? Apart from money, like, what, you get a bit of fitness out of it.
Well, and hats off to you. You've got to find the gold within the job, and that's exactly right. A man looking with the glass half full, hey, you got to look at these bins like they're just mobile weights.
That's it, mate, and just smash it, get in, get out.
has to be done. Unfortunately, look, I could blow smoke. Yeah, maybe. I'll consider a garbo lifestyle. But trust me, I wouldn't last a day.
You got to be motivated, mate. Like,
well, it's good to know that you're the man who's taking care of business back there, and it's good to know that you're getting buff and swole in the process.
You got to love yourself anyway, don't you?
Absolutely. Starry, nice one. Mick, driving a Goulburn right now. You're a buff trucker. You do livestock.
Yeah, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good. So livestock, often called the bins on legs. So having a haul cattle right through, I mean, of course. These are big items. Again, we've heard about the fridges, we've heard about the bins, and now, of course, it's the big cows. So, you getting your workouts from the livestock, or the livestock gives you a lifestyle to get big outside of the livestock hours?
No, you can get fit doing livestock, mate. You're taking 3 hours to load a B double full of sheep, mate, and you're lifting decks and you're moving sheep, so you're pretty physical. Doing a lot of steps, a lot of walking, because you got to walk back and forth.
Yeah.
And then when a big bull turns around and chases you, or a cow, you got to run. So you get a bit of sprinting involved as well.
Now tell me, are you intermittent fasting with this bull, sheep, cow setup going on? Because it seems like you've got a pretty good schedule going on. What's the diet required for this?
Oh, well, I try to eat as best as I can, but it doesn't always work out. But, you know, but yeah, you try to do the best you can.
Now, tell me if I'm speaking out of school here, and I'm not saying this to be funny, but if you've got 300 sheep and cows on a truck and you're driving long haul, do only 299 rock up by the end?
Well, it depends how far you got to travel, but it could be less than that. But
Okay. I mean, this is good though, because I mean, inevitably that's what's going to happen anyway. And a lot of protein in those cows and sheep as well.
And that's another fitness level, because then if they are laying down, you got to drag them out. So you got to, it's like wrestling with the sheep, and you got to drag him out, and believe me, you'll be huffing and puffing after that.
Yeah, of course, because I know I'm getting small gains from the barbells and dumbbells, but I mean, you really haven't seen explosive growth until you've had to drag a couple of cows along a 30-meter long truck, which is one of the great workouts. I've often asked the personal trainer at my local Anytime Fitness if we can incorporate more cattle into the workout equipment to get that extra pump, that extra burn. All right.
Danny Lakey. Triple M.